Amen. I told Al Ray this morning that in that song, the line that one king held the hope of the world. It's such a great line, isn't it? The kings, they were holding all their gifts, and then we forget about the king that was lying there, correct? Because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and that King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he holds the hope of the world. Amen. Thank you, Al Ray, again. Thank you, choirs. They've already exited. They've worked so hard, diligently, preparing that for us. We enjoyed a wonderful time this past Sunday night as the finished product, and we received a blessing because of that, and the choir will continue to bless us throughout the Christmas season with selections from that. So if you couldn't be here last Sunday night, you will get portions of it in the upcoming weeks. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2, I know we read this passage of Scripture in its entirety last Sunday, but I want to focus on a couple of verses because last week, as we talked, we examined this idea of glory, and we kind of went through the whole of, no, I wouldn't say the whole of Scripture, but we went through Scripture surveying this idea of glory and how it was appropriate for the angels to say in that moment, glory to God in the highest. This morning, as I've mentioned earlier during the prayer time, I want to focus on the other thing that they said. They said, glory to God in the highest, but they also said, peace on earth. And so, I think, as I said earlier, this is an idea, a concept, something that we desperately need in our world today. As we see, not only in relationships, interpersonal relationships or work relationships, but in our world as a whole, because there is much conflict, there is much turmoil in what is happening on the national scale, as well as in other countries. As we see, as the conflict continues in Ukraine, I have to think about that. I think about that often because of our friend Joe Reagan, who is already back over there in Ukraine. Praise God, because God did a work in his life. I know you may be tired of me saying this, but I think he is a testimony of God's healing power in an individual's life. When you are diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and yet you go through surgery and chemo and radiation and God places you back on the mission field, that just it screams, it shouts, I'm not finished with you. And so he is enjoying a time of reconnecting over there, as well as ministering to some new faces, some new individuals that God has placed in his life. And so I think about that conflict that has been ongoing for some time now. But I know in our minds we think about North Korea, not just North Korea, we think about the Middle East, we think about all these areas where there seems to be conflict, a lack of peace. And yet, in as we've mentioned earlier, God is a God of peace, isn't he? And we're going to examine that a little bit further. Throughout history, we have seen a lack of peace, and one such moment was during our nation's war, the Civil War. There was a popular Christmas song that was written on Christmas Day in 1863 by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. Anybody know which one this is? I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. Do you remember? It's one of my favorites, but I want to read this morning because I think it conveys the idea that even in the midst of conflict, we can have peace. And I want to focus on that this morning, that no matter what, as we talked about earlier, that no matter what is going on in your life, no matter what conflict you may be experiencing, you can have peace because God is with you. The song goes, I say it's a song, it was a poem. I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And thought how as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then from each black accursed mouth, the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men. It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. I'm so glad he didn't end there. That would be a rather depressing song, wouldn't it? There's one more line or one more frame. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men. That is a message that I think every Christmas we need to remember. That one of the things that happened when Jesus came was he came, when he came, peace on earth. And I want to say this morning that I haven't even read this passage, but we already know this passage that the heavenly host gathered around and they proclaimed, they said, glory to God on highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. When we think about that, they weren't declaring, they didn't have the authority to declare peace on earth because only God has that authority. Would you agree with me this morning? Maybe, just maybe, when they said peace on earth, they weren't talking about this concept of peace, this idea of peace, but maybe they were talking about the person of peace. Peace on earth, because the Christ child himself is the embodiment of peace. Let's look at this morning as we think about this idea of peace. What is peace? This word here that is used in Greek is irene, and it can also not only be translated peace, it can be translated rest or quietness. On blueletterbible.org, I love going there because it has a Greek and Hebrew lexicon on there, and it gives great insight about these words that were used within our Bible. It says that it could, there's so many aspects of this word peace that it could involve. It could involve a state of national tranquility, exemption from the rage and havoc of war, peace between individuals, harmony, concord, security, safety, prosperity. It can also mean the Messiah's peace. One commentator says this: the tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God and content with its earthly lot of whatsoever sort that is. You see, even in the Old Testament, when we have this idea of peace, we see that Hebrew word shalom there. And Daryl Dash has written the idea. I think he conveys it well. The condition of everything being set right. It's about fulfillment, completion, maturity, soundness, wholeness, harmony, tranquility, security, well-being, welfare, friendship, agreement, success, prosperity. It's about the total well-being of the person and the community. It's one of the deepest longings of the human heart. Did you hear that? Let me repeat that. It's one of the deepest longings of the human heart. This idea of shalom. In fact, in some places, shalom is translated when talking about the peace offering. It's translated the salvation offering. I don't know, some translations say salvation offering. So we see this idea that peace is not only the absence of conflict within relationships or within countries. We see that it's we think about salvation, the peace that was gained. We're going to talk about that a little bit more here in just a moment. So where can we find peace? If we know what peace is, where can we find this peace, especially if it's one of the deepest longings of the human heart? Well, I think Scripture is very clear that peace can only be found in God. David Jeremiah, in his new book, A Life Beyond Amazing, he says, peace is not the absence of stress, but the presence of the Savior. Let me read that again. Peace is not the absence of stress, but the presence of the Savior. If you look over in your Bible to Judges chapter 6, This is the time in which God was calling Gideon to be one of the judges of Israel. Israel was experiencing a time of oppression with the Midianites. And God comes to Gideon and he says, "You're going to be my man to lead my people." And you remember Gideon couldn't believe that God was doing this. But before we have this intercourse with conversation with God and Gideon, this is what the Lord says to Gideon. He says, "But the Lord said to him," in verse 23, "Peace to you. Don't be afraid, for you will not die." And so this is what Gideon does. And I want you to understand here what happens here. This is one of the wonderful names of God that we see revealed in Scriptures. It says, so Gideon built an altar to the Lord there, and he called it, "The Lord is peace." Literally, Jehovah Shalom. Jehovah Shalom. So we see the Lord is peace. This is one of the names of God. This is not just an attribute of God. This is inherent in his character that he is peace. The Lord is peace. Jehovah Shalom. So when we think about finding peace, it must be in God. It must be in the Trinity. We look over in Isaiah as he foretells the coming of the Messiah in Isaiah chapter 9, beginning in verse 2. It says, "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. A light has dawned on those living in the land of darkness. You have enlarged the nation and increased its joy. The people have rejoiced before you as they rejoice at harvest time and as they rejoice with dividing spoils. For you have shattered their oppressive yoke and the rod on their shoulders, the staff of their oppressor, just as you did on the day of Midian. For every trampling boot of battle and the bloodied garments of war will be burned as fuel for the fire. For a child will be born for us," in verse 6, "a son will be given to us, and the government will be on his shoulders." Now listen, "he will be named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father," and what? "The Prince of Peace." We find peace. We understand that God the Father himself, Jehovah Shalom, God, the Lord is peace. We see even Jesus, he is called the Prince of Peace. And then even as Jesus is talking with his disciples, nearing the time for him to be arrested and then tried, falsely accused, and then led away to be crucified and then buried in the tomb, when he is talking to his disciples and he's letting them know that they shouldn't be troubled, they shouldn't have any fears, and he also lets them know that he's going away, listen to what he says in verse 16 of John chapter 14. He says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you," or comforter to be with you forever. And he's talking about the Holy Spirit, isn't he? This counselor, this comforter, this parakletos in Greek, this person to go alongside of you. I love those words, comforter and counselor, because what does a comforter or a counselor bring to an individual? Peace, right? Peace. So here we see this idea of peace within the Trinity. God the Father, he himself is peace. Jesus is described as the Prince of Peace. And then the Holy Spirit is described as our comforter or counselor, who is our peace now, who goes alongside of us to be our peace in the midst of our trials. So where can we find peace? Well, we find it in God, don't we? We find it in God. I want to share with you what I see here in Scripture, that we can have three things when regard to peace. Peace with God, peace from God, and peace, the peace of God. Let's talk about this peace with God. And when we think about the idea that this baby who was born, who was the Prince of Peace, and even as the angels proclaim, as we said earlier, peace on earth, the idea that this baby was the embodiment of peace, my thoughts go immediately toward the fact that because Christ came, because he lived a perfect life, because he went to the cross and he died for my sins, and because he rose again, now I can live at peace with God when I place my trust in him. That's what that's the evidence of Scripture. If you look at Romans chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, I want to read 5 and then following. Because with this idea of peace with God, we also have this idea of reconciliation, that we're reconciled to God. Therefore, since we have been declared righteous by faith, Paul says this, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have also obtained access through him by faith into his grace, in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also rejoice in our afflictions, because we know that affliction produces endurance, endurance produces character, and proven character produces hope. This hope will not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured out in our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. We have peace with God because now we have been reconciled. He goes on to say, for while we were still helpless at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For rarely will someone die for a just person, though for a good person perhaps someone might even dare to die. But God proves his own love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. How much more then, since we have been declared righteous by his blood, will we be saved through him from wrath? For if we were enemies, listen to that language, we were enemies with God. But before, as sinners, we're enemies. We did not have peace with God. We were reconciled to God through the death of his son. Then how much more, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life? And not only that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that through whom we now have received this reconciliation. So we see this idea of having peace with God, that we're made right with God. This reconciliation, this idea that in our ledger we have listed our sins. And because of our sins, we know that Scripture is very clear, for the wages of sin is death. There is a penalty. But the gift of God, this gift of God, is eternal life through Jesus Christ. And so when Jesus came in and he took upon himself our sins, what happened is in our ledger, it is now clean. It's been wiped away. We're made right with God. We're reconciled. Our bank account, though it was in the negative, is now taken care of. Because let me tell you, God's bank account will never be dry, will it? It will forever be full. And he has enough in his bank account for each and every one of us to deposit in ours to reconcile us to himself. And he does so through this little baby, not just this little baby, but again, this individual, the God-man who grew up just like each. I mean, think about that. I'm always amazed at the Christmas story, this birth narrative, because it's not just about the baby, but it's about God going through all the maturation processes that we go through as individuals. Just get that in your mind. This Prince of Peace, he became one of us, and he went through all the things, all the developmental cycles that we go through as human beings. That's pretty incredible, right? So that we might be made right with God. We have peace with God. Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, beginning in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who made both groups one and tore down the dividing wall of hostility. Again, this idea that before we place our faith in Jesus Christ, we are enemies. There's hostility between us and God, not because we are a certain individual, but because of our sin. Our sin stands in the way. And when Christ comes in and when we place our faith in him, he breaks down this wall, this dividing wall of hostility. No more. I mean, the wonderful image that we have in our minds is when Christ died on the cross and the curtain that was in the temple was rent from top to bottom. Do you remember that in Scripture? He tore down that dividing wall of hostility. Remember, they had to have that curtain there because no one but the high priest himself could go into the Holy of Holies to offer the sacrifice for the sins of the people. But now, because Christ died on the cross, we can have peace with God, and that curtain was torn in two. Isn't that amazing? We have access to God. We have peace with Him. That's why we can go to His throne boldly. Isn't that what the author of Hebrews says in chapter 4 toward the end? We can go boldly into the throne room of God. Paul goes on in this passage of Scripture. He said he in his flesh he made of no effect the law consisting of commands and expressed in regulations, so that he might create in himself one new man from two, resulting in what? Resulting in peace. He did this so that he might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, by which he put the hostility to death. He came and proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. This little baby, when they said peace on earth, they were talking about peace with God because of what was to come. Paul also in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 19, he says, "For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, in Jesus, and through him to reconcile everything to himself, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds, expressed in your evil actions, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless and blameless before him." By making peace through his blood, we can have peace with God. But we also have peace from God. Peace from God. I want you to turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. If you've never had an opportunity to read through this wonderful psalm, please do so. We're looking at a verse of Scripture toward the end of it, 165. This psalm, over and over again, talks about the Word of God. The Word of God. And how important it is. And even at times, you see the psalmist say that if it wasn't for the Word of God, I would die. 165, it says, "Abundant peace belongs to those who love your instruction. Nothing makes them stumble." That's interesting, isn't it? We can have peace from God because of His Word. I believe that's one of the reasons why we have the Word of God before us. Because as we read this Word, maybe you haven't experienced this, but I have. I'll speak from my own experience that when something is happening in my life and I go to God's Word and I begin to read, guess what comes? God's peace. I know we talked about raising our hands and maybe that's charismatic, but you can do that here this morning. If you've experienced that this morning, we should testify to that because that's true. The Word of God brings us peace. We can have peace from God. It's a letter of love to us from God, but it's also peace comes with that. Christ, in John chapter 14, when he is talking to his disciples about what is about to happen and how he's going to go away and how he's going to be arrested and tried and so forth. We've already talked about this. This is what he says to his disciples in verse 27 of John chapter 14. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful." Peace I give to you. Peace from God. Peace from Jesus. He's like, this is a gift to you. I give it to you. And then a couple pages over in your Bible, as he's still talking with his disciples, in John chapter 16 and verse 33, he says, "I have told you these things so that in me you may have" what? Peace. Peace from God. And then, even after his resurrection, we see when Jesus appears to his disciples in the locked room in John chapter 20 and verse 19. Do you remember the first word that Jesus says to his disciples as he appears to them? Peace. peace be with you. This is peace from God. He brings peace. Whenever you are experiencing anything in your life, that a conflict or whatever it might be, we can rest assured that when we focus our thoughts on Christ, we can have peace because He gives us peace. My peace I give to you. Now, that doesn't mean that the conflict necessarily goes away in an instance, but even in the midst of that. Remember how Jesus slept in the midst of a storm. You see an individual who is at perfect peace because he was peace. And then you see the disciples frantically going around trying to save themselves, save the boat, and then they go to Jesus. It's a good place to go, right, in the midst of a storm. They said, Master, and then you remember what he says? Peace, be still. That is a wonderful truth from our word, from the word of God, that in the midst of all these things, that Christ most definitely wants to speak peace over your situation. So we got to go to Him. We got to in those times of trouble. And the reason we can have peace is because He has the ability to bring peace. He is the power of all powers that can settle these things in our lives, no matter what they might be. We can have peace with God, we have peace from God, and we have the peace of God. In those moments when He speaks peace in our life, then our souls can be at rest, can't they? Our souls can be at the psalmist in Psalm chapter 4, verse 8. Says, I will both lie down and sleep in peace. For you alone, Lord, make me live in safety. Make me live in safety. The peace of God in the moment that where we can have rest. Isaiah 26:3 conveys a similar idea. You will keep the mind that is dependent on you in what? Perfect peace, for it is trusting in you. Right here we have this idea that when we place our trust in Christ, when our thoughts, our minds are focused on Him, we can have peace. And not just any kind of peace, right? Perfect peace, complete peace. Philippians. We're kind of doing a survey this morning, aren't we? Of like we did last. I think it's good. I don't think we do this enough. When we see these ideas in Scripture, I think we need to go back throughout Scripture to see how that thread runs throughout Scripture. And one of the things I didn't mention earlier, when we think about the peace with God, God is always the one making the step toward us. Have you noticed that? Even in the garden, when Adam and Eve sinned and they hid themselves because they heard the sound of God walking in the garden, right? God was the one who initiated the conversation. God is the one who came and said, "Where are you, Adam?" There was a wall now. There was broken fellowship. And guess what? God was the one who restored that fellowship. You remember what God did? He killed an animal and He provided a covering, didn't He? He was the one who provided peace in the relationship. That's amazing. We see that thread even in the beginning of the Bible and runs throughout, that God is the one who initiates peace with Him. All we have to do is respond in faith, don't we? By trusting in Him. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. He says, don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Now listen to this, okay? So what we got to do, there's an idea of prayer. There's an idea of conversating with God, right? We have to go to God. We have to initiate a conversation with God in order for His peace to flood in, the peace of God to flood into our lives. The importance of prayer cannot be overstated, I think. Because if we long for the peace of God in our lives, we must communicate with him. And this is what Paul is saying. Don't worry about anything, but through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I know many of you, you've experienced this. If you had a moment or a time in your life in which you experienced a conflict, whatever it might be, I especially think of in times where we mourn and we've lost a loved one or a friend, and we are without peace in that moment, and we go to God in prayer, how that peace comes in. The peace that surpasses all understanding. And that's the wonderful thing about our witness to the world around us. You probably have this happen to you, that when you are experiencing these things, that people say, I just don't know how you're making it. I've experienced that. And it gives me an opportunity to talk about my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because without him, I wouldn't be making it. Without him, I wouldn't have peace in that moment. But he gives me the peace that passes all understanding. Because honestly, in those moments, I don't understand what's going on. I don't know about you, but I don't completely understand what is going on. And we probably never will completely understand what was going on in that moment until we see Jesus face to face. But that doesn't really matter, does it? All that matters is the fact that Jesus is with us and he brings us peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. Paul goes on, he says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, what does he say? Dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. So not only do we have this idea with this peace of God that God wants to bring this in our lives, we have to go to him in prayer, but we also have to retrain our minds at times, correct? Because I don't know about you, but I am prone to dwell on the negative. I think as human beings, we are prone to gravitate toward the negative. But Scripture tells us, no, as Christ followers, if we want to have the peace of God, gravitate toward the positive. Think of these things. Dwell on these things. Because it's then that you will experience the peace of God as he wants you to experience it. And then also in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, as Paul is talking about beforehand, he's talking about all these things that we're to take off as Christ followers, and then he begins to say, okay, now that you've gotten rid of these things, now you include these things in your life. And he has this whole list of things that you're to put on. In fact, Eugene Peterson in the Message, he says that this is the wardrobe that God has picked out for you, that these are the things that you are to wear now. In fact, he talks about those other things. It's an ill-fitting set of clothes now that you must get rid of, that basically you must burn. You totally get rid of them. You don't just put them back in your closet for later use. You get rid of them. And he said, now this is the wardrobe God has for you. And in the midst of that, in verse 15, and he says, and let the peace of Christ, to whom which you were also called in one body, rule your hearts. The peace of Christ, the peace of God. This is what we're to have in our lives. It is part of the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it? Love, joy, peace. As a Christ follower, the peace of God should be a part of our lives. He says, let it rule in our hearts. Norman B. Harrison says this, the world worries and it has ample reason for doing so. It faces tremendous problems with no real solution for them. But the Christian is very differently situated. He is not of the world. Prayer maintains an otherworldly viewpoint, and he is spared the mental contagion. We're not of this world. And when we, if we want the peace of God, our minds have to focus on things not of this world. So my question this morning, and I asked it earlier, do you have peace? Do you have this peace? The peace of this Christ child that it was proclaimed of him as being peace on earth. Is he a part of your life? Let me encourage you this morning, if he is not a part of your life, look to him and allow him to be your peace. This is what he longs for. If it is truly one of the deepest longings of the human heart, the only place you will find peace is in Jesus. Don't you want that today? Christian brother or sister this morning, do you find yourselves with a lack of peace? Do you find yourself with a lack of peace? Go to Jesus. Focus your thoughts on him because he wants to speak peace in your life. He wants to calm the storms of your life. He wants to be your peace in that moment. Henry Nouwen says this. He says, keep your eyes on the Prince of Peace, the one who doesn't cling to his divine power, the one who refuses to turn stones into bread, jump from great heights, and rule with great power, the one who says, blessed are the poor, the gentle, those who mourn, and those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers, and those who are persecuted in the cause of uprightness. The one who touches the lame, the crippled, and the blind. The one who speaks words of forgiveness and encouragement. The one who dies alone, rejected and despised. Keep your eyes on him who becomes poor with the poor, weak with the weak, and who is rejected with the rejected. He is the source of all peace. May our minds be stayed upon Christ Jesus each and every day, because he truly is our peace. Are you experiencing that this morning? I want to give you an opportunity to respond this morning as we go into this time of invitation. Maybe you're not experiencing the peace of God. Maybe you don't have peace with God because there is sin in your life. And let me tell you, go to Jesus. Give it to him because he paid it all on the cross so that we might have peace with God. He wants to give you this peace. He wants you to have this peace of God that will guard your heart even in the midst of all struggle that you might be experiencing. Won't you go to him this morning? This Jesus who was proclaimed as the Prince of Peace and who is the source of all peace. Let's pray. Father, this morning, we're so thankful that in this little baby, it was proclaimed of him that he truly is peace on earth. And though at times in our lives we really don't know what peace looks like, if we turn our eyes to Jesus, we know exactly what peace looks like. Thank you, Father, that through Jesus Christ, we can have peace with you because he went to the cross and died for our sins, reconciling us to you. I pray this morning that if there would be anybody here that has not experienced that peace with you, God, they would give their lives to you this morning. They would say, yes, I want to know that peace. And they would place their trust in Jesus. God, for those of us that might be experiencing some sort of struggle or conflict, thank you that you want to be our peace. May even in this moment, you flood our hearts through the working of your Holy Spirit with that peace. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.